Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and as Jacqueline and I were just discussing, the 9/11 Commission is defending itself now against the critical new book by New York Times correspondent Philip Sheehan. Maybe you heard him on Fresh Air last week. It's called The Commission, and it reveals omissions and conflicts in the Commission's work. For example, the executive director, Philip Zelikow, had been a close aide to Condoleezza Rice and allegedly had a secret relationship with Karl Rove while the commission was doing its work. Sheehan quotes senior investigators on the commission staff who believed that Zelikow was manipulating their work to help ensure President Bush's reelection. And in a statement released on Friday by the former 9/11 commissioners, they defended their work, and they say Sheehan's book challenges none of the central findings of the report, and that should be the bottom line. So let's talk about it with Philip Sheehan, New York Times correspondent and author of The Commission. Thanks so much for coming on WNYC today. Good morning.
Brian, thanks for having me.
And let's just go through some of your findings, because this will be new to most listeners. What is this, first of all, about the 9/11 Commission working in any way to aid the reelection of President Bush?
Well, there was a real concern at the White House throughout 2003 and 2004 that the 9/11 Commission might come to a conclusion that the Bush administration had bungled intelligence before 9/11, that they had a chance to stop 9/11 but didn't. And the commission didn't come to that conclusion. They came to the conclusion only that there was a continuing dire terrorist threat. And what was George Bush running for re-election as? He was running for re-election as the decisive leader on terrorism. The 9/11 Commission had sort of bolstered his case.
Well, the argument, I guess, revolved around that presidential daily brief back in August of 2001. Bin Laden determined to strike inside the United States. Condoleezza Rice said it was a historical document. Richard Clark said that he was running around trying to get some attention. So there was this disagreement. Could the 9/11 Commission really have definitively settled that?
I think the staff settled it. The staff was very much convinced that Dick Clark's account of what happened in the spring and summer of 2001 was correct, that the White House had been daily, hourly, presented with evidence that something terrible was about to happen. And despite that, it appears that the White House did remarkably little to respond to it.
And what was the secret relationship that you allege between Karl Rove and the executive director of the commission, Philip Zelikow?
Zelikow joined the commission with the knowledge, and he was upfront about the fact that he had a friendship with Condi Rice. He'd written a book with Condi Rice. And obviously there were some concerns from the get-go about some sort of conflict of interest. And he promised the commissioners that he was going to cut off all unnecessary contacts with senior officials in the White House. In June 2003, this is in the first months of the investigation, the phone rings at Zelikow's office and the secretary picks up the phone, and it's Karl Rove. In Washington, Karl Rove's name is a very special one, and it tends to stop conversations. And the secretary found this strange, but she indeed passed along the phone message. And Karl Rove calls the next day. And then he calls a couple more times in September. And she carefully records these calls in her phone logs. When it becomes known on the commission staff that Zelikow is having conversations with Rove, there's a lot of alarm. And the suspicion grows phenomenally at that point. And then there's an odd development after that, which is that Zelikow calls in his secretary, shuts the door, and tells her to stop logging all of his phone communications with the White House. She thinks she's being asked to do something improper and alerts the general counsel of the commission.
Who does what?
Not much. He apparently decides that there's so much out on the record already about Zelikow's ties with the White House that this is just one more bit of evidence of it.
So let me throw at you some of the commission's reactions and see what you think. And these are, I guess, all new within the last week or so. The commission statement that they released on Friday, this written statement that I have, says your book challenges none of the central findings of the 9/11 Commission report. True enough?
I think that is essentially true. There are certainly concerns on the part of the staff that there were important conclusions the commission could have reached or should have reached that aren't in there. And I think in terms of distortions, I think there is concern that the commission's report really distorted the record of Saudi Arabia and its, possible connections to the 9/11 hijackers.
And they say that the report is the standard by which they should be judged. If the content holds up, then any conflicts of interest, real or perceived, are beside the point. Fair enough?
You know, the 9/11 Commission report remains in many ways and on many subjects the definitive account of what happened on 9/11, and I have to give them credit for that. The question is, what is not in there? What is not in there, among other things, is any sense at all of personal accountability, that people, individuals, may have made a mistake. And the staff felt, you know, there indeed were people who made a mistake, and perhaps some of those people should have been pointed out. And again, this whole question of the Saudi investigation, the Saudi involvement or possible involvement in al-Qaeda and 9/11, that's not in there. The report was read as an exoneration of Saudi Arabia when, in fact, the staff felt that Saudi Arabia deserved no exoneration.
As far as accountability and blame, didn't the commission state up front during their work that they're not looking to cast the finger of blame, that the media can get too bogged down in that sort of thing, that they were looking for the facts of what actually happened so the U.S. could prevent something like this better in the future?
Absolutely. And, you know, I as somebody who has been happy to receive leaks in my career, I was a little alarmed that bits and pieces of this book began leaking out before publication last week. My publishers did a terrific job on embargoing the book. And Dr. Zelica was portrayed as a bit of a comic book character, and he's not. He's not. And the decision not to have personal accountability, not to engage in finger-pointing, was a decision made very early on by the commission, Governor Kaine, the very well-respected former governor of New Jersey, and Congressman Hamilton, the vice chairman, a very well-respected retired Democratic congressman from Indiana. They said at the beginning, we don't want finger-pointing. They said at the end, we don't want finger-pointing.
People are calling in. We will take some phone calls for Philip Sheehan, author of his book, The Commission, which is making news, and our phone number is 212-433-WNYC if you want to be one of those on-the-air callers. And, of course, even though this is the pledge drive, and even though we're trying to raise all the money in half time, we'll never ask you for money on the air when you call 212-433-9692 to talk to Philip Sheehan. Zelico himself went on Democracy Now! On Pacifica last week and responded to some of the things you were just discussing. He said, quote, on this business of Rove, it's a little ironic since I don't even really know Rove. We had two brief contacts that had to do with University of Virginia business because I used to direct a presidential research center. In both cases, we handed off the issues to others. I told Sheehan all of this, unquote.
And that's in the book. I mean, the White House and Zelico have said that these were absolutely innocent telephone calls that involved Zelico's old work at the University of Virginia, where he ran a presidential historical center. And, you know, there could be good reason for Rove and Zelico to have contact. But again, in light of all of the suspicions about Zelico's conflicts, the idea that Karl Rove, of all people, is calling in at least four times is, caught the attention of the staff.
But you said four times, multiple contacts. He says just twice.
The phone logs show four.
Okay.
And they only show what calls came in. They don't show what calls went out.
So you have written phone logs.
I do.
And on the question of ordering his assistant to stop keeping logs of his calls to the White House, he told Pacifica, quote, the commission had no phone logs, so I couldn't tell her not to keep logs in a situation where the commission didn't have phone logs.
I have seen phone logs. I have copies of these phone logs. The secretary cleverly, I think, again, was so alarmed by this order that she was apparently given by Zelico that she reports it immediately to the chief lawyer in the investigation, who acknowledged with me on the record that she had indeed come to him alarmed by this order.
And more generally on the nature of his work and the impact of his work on the Bush administration, serving to ease the way to reelection, as you're saying, Zelico says, as the commissioners have recently put it, Zelico is the White House's biggest problem, referring to himself. Zelico was the White House's biggest problem. And they, the commissioners, if you will just call them and ask them, will point out that I was actually a source of constant trouble for the White House. And the White House had hoped that the commission would put someone else in my job. And in fact, the White House's biggest supporters, like Bill Sapphire, former Times columnist, were slamming me in their columns during 2004 because I was leading the commission to knock down the theories they supported, unquote.
Guess what? That's all true. You know, there are people on the staff who thought he was a White House mole when, in fact, and as the book reports, people at the White House just hated Philip Zelico. They hated him at the beginning. They hate him at the end. Because he's a very abrasive man, and I think he'll acknowledge that. And he was absolutely going in there and demanding every bit of evidence that the commission needed, every interview. But the question is whether or not the tone he set in the investigation, you know, the fact that he was such a close friend of Condoleezza Rice's, doesn't that have to have some impact on an investigation in which Condoleezza Rice is right at the heart of everything?
How did he get the job if he was so close to Condoleezza Rice? And she, of course, as national security advisor, was right at the heart of the investigation.
He recommended to Cain and Hamilton by Senator Slate Gordon, a former Republican senator from the state of Washington who's named to the 9/11 commission and who had dealt with Zelikow on a different federal blue ribbon commission and thought the world of him, thought he was just whip smart. He knew how to meet a deadline. He knew how to write. He was the perfect candidate. And Cain and Hamilton look over Zelikow's resume and, you know, were it not for these conflicts, he might well indeed have been the perfect staff director because he has the background in all these issues.
And I should mention that we have been following up with the 9/11 Commission and their publicist who released the statement on Friday, as well as some of the individual commissioners who've been on the show in the past. And so far, none of them have agreed to come on with you this morning. It's too late for that. And so far, none of them has agreed to come on and respond. But let's take a few phone calls. Here's Barry in Ocean, New Jersey. You're on WNYC with New York Times correspondent Philip Sheenan, author of The Commission.
Good morning. I guess my question is, if people in the White House made mistakes in calling and realizing that there was this thing coming on 9/11, and we don't look at those individuals, then it's not possible to inquire about what led them to make these mistakes. And I think that's an important aspect. Were they beyond their areas of expertise? I could think of a dozen questions that I'd like to answer about those mistakes.
I think it's very legitimate. I mean, the thing is, when you if you're going to decide not to have any form of personal accountability, that really kind of limits your ability to understand what went wrong before 9/11 and why, you know, at the end of the day, 9/11 happened for many reasons, but one of them was because some very instrumental, important people made very big mistakes. And the fact that those mistakes weren't pointed out means that those people themselves may not understand what mistakes they made and will not understand it either.
Arnold on Staten Island, you're on WNYC with Philip Sheenan. Hello.
Hi. The people who are Bush supporters and who felt that Clinton was mainly responsible during the later 7 years of his administration and not taking actions he could have, including getting bin Laden handed to him, feel that Jamie Gorelick was actually a fox in the henhouse, since many people feel she was responsible for setting up the barrier, or at least increasing the barrier, between the FBI and the CIA, and she was on the commission. Never mind whether all this is true. Have you analyzed all those faults of the commission not going after Clinton appropriately?
Arnold, thank you. And you do write about accusations against Jamie Gorelick during that time, right?
Yeah, we should back up a bit. Jamie Gorelick was the number two official in the Justice Department in the Clinton administration. She is named to the commission. And she, like Zelikow, faces the same sorts of allegations of conflict, which is that she was involved in counterterrorism policy for many years of the Clinton administration. Didn't she have a lot of questions to answer from the investigation? Shouldn't she have been a subject of the investigation, not part of it? And actually, that was one of the reasons that people were willing to take on Zelikow, because they thought, well, he has these conflicts. Gorelick has these conflicts. Everybody has conflicts. How can we keep these talented people away from the investigation?
But you felt that that somebody was going after her politically and that this was coming from inside the commission staff, something like that?
Well, it was one of the great battles of the 9/11 commission because Attorney General John Ashcroft was coming under his own criticism from the investigation, and he launched a counterattack. And his counterattack was to argue that Jamie Gorelick, a member of the 9/11 commission, bore some responsibility for 9/11 because of some memos she'd written during the course of her years at the Justice Department. And indeed, that produced a huge furor at the time.
And on President Clinton, you do write about how the commission discovered President Clinton's secret order to kill Osama bin Laden.
He did. You know, I'm certainly not giving a pass to the Clinton administration in this book. They did indeed have many years to try to end the threat of bin Laden. But no, it was said by people in the White House that Bill Clinton really wanted to see Osama bin Laden dead, And there is a very explicit a statement of that in a very secret document that he signed on Christmas in 1998.
Verit in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I wanted to ask Mr. Sheenan to comment on Harper's Magazine did a marvelous piece basically characterizing the report as a whitewash and saying that essentially it said that since everyone was at fault, then no one was at fault. And there were so many footnotes with really incredible information that was just hidden. And I wanted to ask him to comment on that.
Was that your piece?
No, it wasn't. And it was a very valuable piece, and I guess a couple of years ago. But no, it raised many of these same questions, which is, if you have no personal accountability, does that mean we essentially have no-fault government? And do we really want no-fault government?
NBC News had a story the other day that I guess I've read about it. I haven't actually seen the piece. But I guess it implied that a lot of what the commission said they learned from some of the people allegedly involved with 9/11 came as the result of torture in captivity. Now, I guess these would be the same individuals who it's in the Times today as the lead story that they may be put up on death penalty military commission trials. But I guess the implication here is if their testimony to the commission or anyone else, or if their testimony to the CIA that was then transmitted to the commission was obtained during waterboarding or any kind of other kind of torture, then how reliable is their information?
You know, I wish I'd gone more deeply into this in the book, but I think at the end of the day, the 9/11 commissioners will acknowledge that much of the information that's in their final report that is sourced to detainees is sourced to detainees who were almost certainly exposed to these very harsh interrogation techniques, including waterboarding. And I think that does raise credibility about some of the information in the report.
So what, if anything, would you like to see done now? Would you like to see the commission go back and revisit some of these questions, the Saudi question or any of the other things that you think are omissions?
Well, the commission is long gone. I don't think we'll be seeing this commission again. But, you know, I'll tell you, I think one of the big disclosures of the book is that the 9/11 commission appears to have missed what may have been the most, or what may be the most important government archives on terrorism and al-Qaeda at the National Security Agency, the big eavesdropping agency. It wasn't until the final stages of the investigation that they go in and start looking there, and they can't possibly get through all of it. And they, you know, I think there are members of the staff who fear to this day that there's other secret information at the NSA that might change the way we look at 9/11.
So what do you think about the reaction to your book? Obviously, this is ruffling the feathers of the commission members who did go so far as to release that statement. Philip Zelikow, who went on Pacifica, of all things.
It's an interesting venue.
Yes. You're having an impact, the impact you want to have?
Sure. And I will say that I like a lot of the commissioners, and I think the individual portrayals of some of these commissioners is very flattering and justifiably so. But I do think these 10 people have their personal legacies very much tied up in the legacy of the 9/11 commission, and anything that tarnishes it, they think tarnishes them. I don't necessarily agree with that, but I understand why they would be upset.
All right. Philip Sheenan, Sheenon, New York Times correspondent, now the author of The Commission, The Uncensored History of the 9/11 Investigation, published by the imprint called 12. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.